Now go back to John's Gospel, chapter 14. In the next few chapters, the Lord is talking to his disciples only. His disciples. He's not talking to the world. The things that he's saying is not to everyone. It's to his disciples. Okay? Judas left, the betrayer, the pretender. He left. And right after he left, the Lord said, "Now." And he began to talk to his disciples, and he called them little children. And everything he says to them in these next few chapters are comfort and blessed promises. Okay? This is to God's people. Great error takes place today and when men apply God's word to everyone without exception. It's not. And this is very clearly to his disciples, to believe. Are you believers? And blessed promises, that's what Peter said. These precious promises to those who have obtained like precious faith with them through the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not to the world. Like chapter 17, he said, "I pray not for the world." I'm not praying for the world, he said. I'm praying for those whom thou hast given me. So look at verses 1 through 4 of chapter 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know." Who's he talking about? You. He keeps saying you. He doesn't call anyone's name in particular. But he's talking to Simon. He's talking to John and James. They knew him. Why did they know him? He revealed himself to them. He chose them, didn't he? One time he asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they gave all sorts of different opinions of what men say. And if you ask people today, "Who do you think Jesus is?" you'd get just as many different opinions. And then he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon spoke up again. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Blessed are you. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you." And he said, "Have I not chosen you? I chose you. See, no man knoweth the Son but the Father," our Lord said in Matthew 11. "No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." You don't figure out God. You don't discover God. He chooses to make himself known to you, to make Christ known to you. You. If you're a believer, he's talking to you. Okay? I believe. I really do. By God's amazing grace, I do. There was a time I didn't. There was a time I had no interest in God whatsoever. I wasn't calling on God. I wasn't seeking God. But God. But God. So do you believe? I do. I really do. I look around this room and I see mostly believers in here. So I'm talking to you. And I'm told by our Lord and through Isaiah, "To comfort ye, my people," saith the Lord. "Comfort ye, speak ye comfortably to my people. Tell them the warfare is over. Comfort. Iniquity is pardoned." That's who I'm to comfort, okay? And I believe, and our Lord is, that's what he's doing, comforting his peoples. And that's what I'm doing. This room full of believers or people listening on Mixler right now, and I'm talking to you, Johnny, Tommy, David, Teresa, if you're listening, Kate, Sister Kate, Mike, Debbie, listening over Mixler, talking to you. So he says, beginning with verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled." Talking to his disciples now. He's not talking to the world. The world's in big trouble. Who really believes that God's going to rain fire down from heaven? They didn't believe it was going to rain in Noah's day, did they? They didn't believe word. They didn't believe a word of it until it happened. Noah believed. Whoever was in that ark believed, didn't it? The world's in trouble. Trouble with God. God's people aren't in trouble with God. Why? Because Christ did away with that trouble. Sin. Christ put away sin. And this is what he's going to tell us here. So, this is not to the world, it's to his people. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. You know, man that is born of woman, Scripture says, is a few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. We've got trouble all around us, don't we? Trouble within, trouble without, trouble in the job, trouble in the world, some troubles at home. Shouldn't have, but we do. Troubles everywhere in the world. Troubles. Why? Because of sins in this world and sins in us. We've got trouble that people cause us. We've got trouble we cause them. We got troubles that we cause ourselves. And this is the biggest trouble God's people wrestle with. Sin trouble. And we're going to wrestle with this till the day we die. So our Lord said to Simon Peter and all the believers, and you who have trouble, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Look at chapter 13. Now he had just told them all that they were all going to flee from him. Didn't he? Told them all, you're all going to be offended by me. You're all going to run. Scared. And he said, one of you betray me. And they were troubled. And we ought to thought of that. Ought to be. And then he told Simon Peter, he told all of them he's leaving. He told all of them he was leaving. First he told them, you're going to leave me. And then he said, I'm going to leave you. And they were troubled. Let me ask you, those of you who profess to be believers, are not these two things the things that trouble you the most? The thought of our Lord leaving you to yourself. When he comes back, he's not going to take you. Is not your biggest trouble the thought of leaving him? You know how Come Thou Fount says, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. If he doesn't keep us, we'll leave. If you can leave, you will. But if you belong to him, you won't. If you do run off, he'll come get you. So he says, let not your heart be troubled. Now, Simon Peter, probably more than any of them, was really troubled. Because he just told him, Simon, before the sun comes up, you're going to deny me three times. And I just know there was silence. I know, don't you know Simon Peter hung his head? Oh, man. Sure he did. Now, as I said, the world doesn't give it a thought. You can't leave someone you don't know and not with, can you? And you don't care if you don't know this person. You don't care if they're with you or not. Do you? Do you worry about him leaving you? Do you worry about leaving him? Do you? That's a good sign. So he says to you, you're nodding your head, sister. So he says to you, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He didn't say this. There's not a question mark there, is it? Do you believe in God? He didn't say that. He said, you believe in God. I believe also in that. You believe in God. Why do they believe in God? Because I quoted it to you. He revealed the Father to them. Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John were fishermen. They didn't care about God. How about you all? Was there a time, Mike, you didn't care about God or seek God? Sitting in a church pew, the last place you want to be. That's me. But now I believe in God. I really do. Don't you? I mean, you believe God is God. The God of the Bible. One who is God. Not this fellow that people let be God. That's not God, is it? It's the one that lets you know he's God. You believe in God, he said. Believe also in me. Believe also in me. And so Christ, he's saying all through here that I am God. That's what he's saying. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And Simon Peter said, I want to go. Didn't he? He said, you can't. Now. He said, you will later. And what's he mean by that? Where's he going? And they all kept asking. He'd been telling them for 3 years where he was going. Didn't he? From the very beginning, he'd been telling them where he's going, the reason he came, where he was going, what he was going to do. And after he did it, what's going to happen? He told them the end from the beginning, didn't he? I just, like, I saw a dull hearing. He said, for this cause came I into the world. That is to die on a cross, to put away the sin of God's people and by sacrificing himself and put away their sins and make a way into the Holy of Holies by his own precious blood for God's people. He said, they're going to take me and they're going to do everything the Scripture says they're going to do to me. They're going to pluck out my beard. They're going to strip me. They're going to spit in my face. And they're going to beat me. And they're going to give me vinegar to drink. They're going to do all that. And they're going to crucify me and kill me and bury me. But 3 days later, I'm coming out. That's what he kept telling them. And they didn't hear him. Like little children, don't go, please. And he says all through this chapter, if you knew where I was going, you'd rejoice. If you really understood why I came, what I came to do and where I'm going, you would rejoice. We do now because we read the last chapter. We've got an advantage over the apostles. They did not yet know. And Simon said, Lord, I want to go. I want to go. I want to follow you. And the Lord said, you can't. Go back to Genesis 22 with me. Genesis 22. You can't go with me, Simon Peter. None of you can. Why is that? Well, look at Genesis 22. You know this story. Abraham, the father, and his son Isaac. This is one of the clearest pictures in all the Old Testament of God the Father and God the Son on Mount Calvary. Now that Isaac, the son of promise, a miracle son, is Christ, and how the Father offered him up to God for a burnt offering and substitution. This is all a picture of Christ and him crucified. Look at verse 3. Genesis 22, verse 3, says, Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, okay, and Isaac his son. And he clave the wood for the burnt offering, split the wood, and he rose up, went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And then Abraham said unto his young men, the two young men, you've got to stay here. You stay here, at the bottom of this mountain. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And look at this. And I come again. You see, our Lord went to Calvary where he would, by himself, purge our sins. Nobody helped him. Salvation is not a cooperative effort by man with God. He made an offer and made it possible, and you've got to make it effectual. That's blasphemy. Scripture says he by himself did what? Purged our sin. Not made it possible, purged our sin. Scripture says he entered into the holy place with his own precious blood, having what? Obtained eternal redemption for his people. Now here in the house, go back to the text. In the house, they're sitting around the table, and there's the Lord and 11 men. They went into the garden in the next little bit. They go into the garden of Gethsemane, and he took 3 men with him. He took Peter, James, and John with him. Okay? But when our Lord went to the cross, that's why everybody had to leave. He said, you're all going to leave. They have to. This is the Father and the Son together on Mount Calvary, where God's going to make his Son to be sin for his people. And Christ is going to put away their sin by himself. Nobody's going to help him do it. See, why? He gets all the glory. Even faith is his gift. Okay? He gets all the glory. So our Lord went to Calvary. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. That is his disciples. He said all the way back in chapter 10, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Not goats, the sheep. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Our Lord went to Calvary and was the sacrifice for the sins of God's people, and God accepted that sacrifice on our behalf. Okay? And then he went to the grave where he went before us and came out of the grave and showed us afterward he's abolished death. Death couldn't hold him. And he said, and you that believe on me will never die. He abolished death, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And he came out of the grave and he went back to the Father. He arose, went back to the Father. Scripture says we were risen with him. And he's seated in the heavenlies right now at the right hand of God. And Scripture says we're seated with him. Then he went back to the Father and to the Holy of Holies. And this one man opened the way into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, through the veil, that is, by his flesh. And the next thing he's going to say, I'm the way. I'm the way. And he went through the veil and opened that up to bring us to God. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And that's what he did. And we're going to, God's people will get to heaven by Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Let me just put it very plainly. There's one reason anybody's going to get to heaven. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not your faith in it. Him. Faith is a result of what he did for God's people. Not the cause of it. All right. He's going to bring us to God. Now, so he says, let not your heart be filled over sin. Now, it's virtually impossible for God's people to not be troubled by sin. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin to the day we die. But he also gives that consolation which we should have in Christ. And in him is no sin. You know that? John says, in him is no sin. Where does it say we are? All the way through Ephesians 1, Colossians 1, what does it say? In him. You are complete where? In him. Completely what? Without sin. I don't understand. I don't either. But it's true. All right, it's true. Let not your heart be troubled over sin. I've put it away by the sacrifice of myself, Christ said. Let not your heart be troubled over the world. He said there in Matthew 11, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, didn't I? That's John 16 is where they are. Be of good cheer. They were troubled. He said, be of good cheer. Worried about the world, what's going on?
I own this place, he said. I run this place.
Be not troubled over the future. Are you troubled over the future? Sure you are. We all are. We're creatures of time. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Does that trouble you? You're not human if you don't, if it's nothing. You know what he said? He says, I'm the Lord of the dead and the living. Chapter 17, he says, he's given me power over all flesh. Everything. Everything. He works all things. The future, we don't know the future, but we know him who holds the future, who controls the future. Okay? And the scripture says all things work together for good. Everything. How? He's working them. He said. He said, you believe in God. That's a fact. They did. Because he revealed the Father to them. He said, believe also in me. Now, brothers and sisters, you know how few people really believe in God today. I mean the God of the Bible. You know how few people really believe in God? It's becoming fewer every day, it seems like. You know how few people believe God? There's a difference. I mean, believe everything he says. That this book was written by God. Everything the apostle says, God's word. You know how few people believe that? Do you? Do you? You know how few people believe that that man named Jesus that walked this earth years ago is God that made this world? You know how few people there are believe that? Do you? Do you? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is just as much God as God the Father? Do you believe that? Equal with God? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now look at this. He said in verse 1, in my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house, many mansions. The word actually is dwelling places. But God, you see, numbers the stars. He knows how many stars. He numbered. He made them all. So he knows. He knows how many grains of sand. Seriously. He knows how many hairs of head. Hairs are on your head of every person in the world. You believe that? That's what Jesus Christ said. I don't either, but that's what makes him God. All right, he's got the stars numbered. How many stars are there? How many stars are there? Well, here he says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. Oh, I don't know if there's room for me. Seriously. Many dwelling places. Many. Reckon there's room for you? I reckon. Yeah, but I'm such a sinner. Really? Are you now? Well, good. Because that's who Christ came into the world to save. That's who he went to prepare a place for, didn't it? Let me tell you who's in one of these mansions up there. There's a woman named Rahab. Right now. Don't you know she thought, everybody's going to get to heaven but me? Mary Magdalene, she's right beside her. Don't you know Mary Magdalene thought, I'm the last person going to be in heaven. She's one of the first. Let me tell you who's up there right now in one of these mansions. A thief on the cross. He thought, Lord, would you remember me when you come? Surely he's not going to remember me. The Lord died before he did. He thought, surely. He's forgotten me. Mm-mm. He just said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. There's room, all right. There's room for all of us. Every sinner. Every sinner. Our Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. So, there are many mansions. Now, mansions, I think he said this just to let us know that our Father is the King and He lives in a palace. Okay? Scripture says, I hadn't seen and ear hadn't heard, neither have entered in the heart of man things that God had prepared for them to love. We just don't know. We don't know. I really don't believe, and Scripture teaches that there's not really going to be a temple in heaven. We're not going to need a dwelling place. We dwell within Him. And our Lord didn't have a place to lay His head. Why? He dwelt in the Father. This is all symbolic, that there's plenty of room for all of God's people. They're all going to be with God in glory. And you're not going to get there by the skin of your teeth. It's not a wish and a chance and a hope and all that. It's going, Scripture says, an abundant entrance into glory. When the thief went into glory, it says that our Lord said, let's have a celebration. He's here. Who? One sinner that repented. And this mansion, I believe, just signifies that it's going to be an abundant and unsearchably rich and glorious and amazing entrance into glory. It's going to be, that's why there's going to be silence in heaven for 30 minutes. When it's all over, Scripture says, silence in heaven for 30 minutes. Everybody there is going to be amazed that they're there. And when they see Him, they're just going to be spellbound. He's altogether loving and glory. Look at Him. We see Him. We now finally see Him. Look at Him. And then we're going to erupt. And never be silent again. And laughter and rejoicing and singing. But I think He's saying here an abundant entrance. You see, throughout the Scripture, there's examples of the goodness and the mercy and the grace of our God. And my, like our Lord's love and mercy and grace is vast. And heaven and this new heaven and new earth is just vast. Plenty of room, and it's just glorious. Wait and see. Just wait. But all through the Scripture, like Jacob's sons of Jacob, and Joseph was on the throne, remember? Joseph was in control of everything. He knew them. They didn't know him. They didn't know him. They were sinners all. But their brother's on the throne, and he loves them. He's not ashamed to call them brother. So he told them, he said, bring some sacks when you come. Bring some sacks. And he filled up the sacks, didn't he? Well, the next time they brought sacks, what happened? They went home with wagon loads. And shortly thereafter, they were all dwelling in the land of Goshen. The best land of all. They couldn't believe it. They left famine, and now they're in the land of Goshen. That's what we're all going to say. I can't believe it. A mansion. Poor and needy are now rich beyond understanding. The woman who came to Christ pleading with Him for a few crumbs, she didn't get crumbs. Prodigal son came home and said, just give me a little place in the barn, Dad. No. Coming in the house and we'll have a celebration. He said in verse 3, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself. I will come again. He will. He's coming. Lo, He comes with clouds descending. Whenever you see clouds in the sky, you need to know those are the dust of His feet. That's what the Scripture said. The days are short. His coming is near. You know, our Lord said, when you see all these things, know that He's near. He's at the door. He's stirring clouds. Okay? It's very soon. He's the last day. I will come again. And He said, and I will receive you. So He's still talking to you. Unto myself. That where I am, you may be also. Now here's the key. All right? He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. What do you think about God's house? This is God's house. Church is God's house. It's where God's people meet. You came here tonight. Why'd you come here? Habit, duty. This is Wednesday night. This is optional. Lord's Day, you know, it's our reasonable service, but this is Wednesday night. You could be doing so much else. There's people listening right now who have service tomorrow night, Thursday night. Let's listen on Wednesday. Why, what are you doing that for? You love the Father's house, don't you? What did you come to the house to do? Hear His voice? That's what Stephen prayed back there in the study. Lord, we need to hear Your voice. We need to speak to You. We want to sing His praises. We want to hear Your word. We want to read Your word. We want to meet together with the saints. I want to see Christ's glory. I want to hear His voice. I want to hear the gospel. I want to be with my brethren. Is that really why you came? Into God's house, the Father's house. Well, you're going to be in the house all the days of your life. So I'm coming to you again and receive you into the Father's house. You know, I had had wonderful parents and had a wonderful home, and I felt so safe and provided for and loved, and I enjoyed coming home. Well, you want to go home? Want to go home? Everybody doesn't. They like it here just fine. He said, when I come, I'm going to receive you to myself, that where I am, that's where you'll be. Where I am. See, this is talking to the bride. To the bride. That where your husband is, that's where you want to be. Did you enjoy being with your husband? Did you look forward to him coming home from work? Well, the bride's husband's coming for that. And we're looking for him. We're waiting on him. What are you laughing at, John? Sure she does. She loves seeing you come home. Like seeing you leave for a while, but she loves seeing you come home. I know I'm married. But I love coming home. Here's the whole point. I love coming home, and my wife loves me coming home because we love each other. Now, you either love Christ or you don't. You come here because you love the Lord. You want to be in His house. And you want to go there for one reason. Not to see Mama. Unless your mother's a believer, then you'll really be glad to see her. But you're going to be glad to see one person or anything. Your Lord, your husband. See, I'm coming again to receive you to myself, to where I am. Where I am. You want to be where He is? There you may be also. So He says, and I got to conclude this. He says, whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. And we do, don't we? We do. He's going to tell us, and in verse 6 needs a whole message by itself. You understand that? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And let me just tell you this much, though. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where You're going, and we don't know how to get there. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Do you? Do you know where Christ went and how you're going to get to Him? Do you? Sure you did. He's the way. He's the way. Where He is, you may be also. All right, I hope these words have comforted God's people. Stand with me.